All right, come on in, grab a seat. Hopefully you got to say hey to a few people. Maybe we should have just said hey to everybody. With it being a holiday weekend, we can make it around pretty well. So we are in Ephesians 1 today. So if you want to open your Bible to Ephesians and ask Mr. Rich to come down, and he's going to read the word this morning.
Title is the Spiritual Blessings in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it, the praise of his glory.
Amen. Thanks, Rich. All right, so how many people do we have in here today that are normally in class? How many people are normally in class? All right, we got a couple over there, maybe a few scattered out, another in the back. A couple guys in the sound booth, apparently. They're all raising their hands, or maybe they're pointing to somebody else. So, well, it's always fun to have some of the younger ones in with us today, and it kind of makes me think about the passage a little bit different and how to communicate it. So we're in Ephesians 1. It's just an incredibly rich passage, and it's so neat to, I love teaching on this. One of the things that we're looking at is the benefits that we have in the gospel. And it makes me think about whenever we go and buy something. Has anybody bought anything fun this last week? Anybody? Hudson? Have you bought anything? Nope? Okay. He was very bold to raise that hand, and then he backed out. Anybody else bought anything this week? Any of the kids? Rehan, did you buy something? Some Turkish prizes? Tokens. Tokens for prizes. Okay. Very good. Well, anytime we go and buy something, if you think about that idea of buying something, we are giving something up to acquire something else, right? So you're looking at these prizes and you're like, man, these will be great. I can give these to someone else. I am willing to give up this money in order to acquire this prize. There's a benefit that it brings. One of the things that I think about that I like to buy is food. Anybody else like to buy food? I love buying food. So you go somewhere, and maybe they've got a pizza, and the pizza is $20, but you're like, man, $20, I will give up this money in order to acquire that pizza because that pizza is delicious. You may go somewhere else, and you think, well, this pizza is $30, but you know what? It's a $30 pizza, right? It's better. It's got real pepperoni, none of that cheap imitation stuff. It's really good. Maybe you go somewhere else and you're like, ah, that pizza, man, it's only worth like $5, right? It's like, that's just, you know, you microwave it, you don't really bake it, the pepperoni doesn't get crispy, you know, none of that good stuff. When we buy things, we realize we're willing to give up a certain amount, we're willing to give certain things up in order to acquire something that will benefit us. Well, there's some similarities in that in our relationship to Christ. There's similarities in that and what God has done for us. Because what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, there are what theologians call the benefits of being united in Christ. There are benefits to knowing Christ. There's benefits that we receive by being in Christ. And one of the things the Bible teaches is that those things are willing to give up everything else in order to acquire those. Those things are so great, they're so precious, that it just doesn't compare to anything else we might have in this world. And so we want to look at that today, and we want to look at that because, you know, there is a tendency that we all have to begin to get very complacent with things that we have, right? Even those things that at one point, man, I paid so much money. We were looking at our car the other day. We've had it for 10 years, and we were like, man, when we first bought it, we were so excited to have that car. You know, everything was clean and immaculate. 10 years later, with four kids, we'll just say it's less clean, all right? It's less clean. There's a few more scratches. We no longer have that excitement of getting into it. We've just become fairly complacent with it. We're not excited about our 10-year-old minivan anymore. Well, you know, you can do the same thing in the Christian faith. You can start to become very complacent with what Christ has done for you. I was reading Francis Schaeffer's book, True Spirituality, this week, and in it, Francis Schaeffer, he talks about it. Francis Schaeffer, he was a American pastor, theologian. He actually moved to Switzerland in 1955 and opened a ministry that he called La Abri. La Abri is French for a shelter or refuge. And basically what Schaeffer did is he went there and he opened this, and he just wanted it to be a place that anybody could come there and begin to ask questions, philosophical questions, religious questions, questions about the Bible. He just wanted a place that people that were, you know, this is in the 50s and 60s, where there's just so much in society, there's societal changes going on, there's kind of revolutions happening, and Schaeffer wanted it to be a place that people could come and ask questions. There's a lot of things that Schaeffer was doing today that I think, man, we need that just as much today. We need a little bit of that in all of our ministries. Just, hey, it's okay, come, be here, ask questions. But Schaeffer says that The material in this book is what led him to begin that outreach. And he says that what happened was that he started, you know, he was a Orthodox Christian theologian. He was committed to the basic truths of the faith, the essential truths of the faith. But then he started to realize something as he looked out at all those others that held similar beliefs to him. He says that he began to see very little reality in the things that the Bible so clearly teaches. Basically, what he says is these incredible truths that were taught in Scripture, I just saw little of that in the everyday lives of people. It seemed to be missing. So that was Schaeffer's first critique on society. And his second critique was, as he critiqued the Christian community and saw so little of the life that Scripture called us to, he said, the second critique was, and I began to see it in myself as well. Just thought that's really good. A lot of times we can critique other people, but we don't share in that critique, right? We think, oh, all Christians do this, but not me. Well, what Schaeffer began to realize is that this was the beginning of a journey of really searching the Scriptures and what has Christ done for me and why does it matter and how does it change each and every day? Well, Christ dying for our sins, that is the linchpin of the Christian faith. It is the linchpin of the Christian life. And so what I want to do today is I want to look at this passage and see how it should kind of revitalize, kind of renew our understanding of Christ and also our appreciation of who he is and what he's done. So I want to look at three ways this passage changes us and helps us to see afresh the significance of what Christ has done and the significance that it should have for us on a daily basis. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yes. All right, making sure you're awake. Some of y'all stayed up too late last night watching football, right? All right, here we go. So the first one is that we are blessed in Christ. We are blessed in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's amazing to read this. Like, you read this and it just kind of lifts your spirit a little bit, right? Like, you read that and it's like, hey, that's good news. I might need to hear that again. You are blessed. We're blessed in Christ. The word here, blessed, eulogia. If you're familiar with Greek, logia, word, you, good, a good word, a eulogy. Blessed. Blessed. You speak well of something. Well, he's speaking well because of what God has done for him. God has blessed us with just blessing upon blessing. God has acted in a profound way to bless us. Sometimes you got to remind yourself that. I mean, God has blessed us. We are blessed in Christ. If you're in Christ, you are blessed. It's interesting that everyone wants to be happy today, right? So why do so few people really find it? Everybody wants to be blessed. Then why do so few people find it? Well, it's that we are blessed in Christ. God has blessed us in him. It's interesting that this passage, it starts with Paul praising God, blessing God for what he has done. Bless, you think that sounds like worship, that sounds like praise, that sounds like rejoicing, that sounds like singing. Yes, that's what he is doing here. God has blessed us. Being blessed, it's not just, hey, I'm blessed with stuff, right? We often think about it being the stuff, the prizes, the goodie bags, right? And adults, our goodie bags just keep getting bigger and bigger, right? It's still the same things that we put our identity in and hope in. But no, this is telling us that he has blessed us. He's blessed us in the spiritual realms, every heavenly, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It's so neat to read that and to see how God has blessed. When you read this, does it sound like he's withheld anything? Right? Has he withheld something? It says that he's blessed us in the heavenly realms with what? A couple spiritual blessings? A couple? No. Every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing you need, you have in Christ. You know, this isn't like where you go and you ask your mom for another piece of cake and she just cuts this little sliver, right? Anybody ever have that happen? You're like, Mom, I want another piece of cake. She's like, yeah, you've already had one. Let me give you another. And it's just this, like, this paper-thin piece. You're like, Mom, that's not a piece of cake. Like you're being too stingy, right? Has God been stingy? No. No, he's blessed us with everything that we need, with every spiritual blessing. But it comes to us through faith. We are blessed in Christ. We are united to God through Christ. And so these blessings, they come to us through Christ. They come through faith, right? We love to have tangible things. We love to have things that we can put in our fingers and on our fingers, right? We like those kinds of blessings. But what Jesus has done for us is he has secured for us every spiritual blessing. So that's the second point. We are blessed in Christ. Second, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. What are the benefits of being in Christ? We have these on a screen. Just want to go through these. Should have a slide. There we go. Just these are some of the benefits of being in Christ. How does being in Christ benefit us? Well, here are a few. We are blessed. We are chosen. We are holy. We are adopted. We are heirs. We are redempted. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. We are sealed. So these are some of the benefits of being in Christ. You know, I've often thought about these in this image. It kind of looks like a diamond, right? Kind of looks like a diamond. So if you think about a diamond, maybe you think about your mom or maybe your sister got engaged and she's got a new shiny ring, right? And diamond rings are so neat and beautiful because the different edges, the cuts on it, right? They reflect the light. And so all those different angles create kind of a glory around that ring. And as we think about what Jesus has done for us, it should kind of, we should see the glory of it, kind of the different sides or different sides of the gospel, different sides representing the benefits of what Christ has done for us. So we're going to go through and look at these. And also what I want to do, so these are the benefits of knowing Christ. Well, next slide. We also want to talk about how these benefits can help us fight the fight of faith. Because there are different things that will come and begin to speak to us. Start telling us, hey, you're cursed, you're rejected, you're ashamed, all these things. And so we can fight that spiritual battle when we know the benefits that we have of being united in Christ. So one of the ways that I want to think about this is the next slide. All right? Some of these benefits of being in Christ, yes, we see the beauty of the gospel. We see the amazing things that Jesus has done for us, but we can also apply these things like a medical kit, right? When we start feeling a hurt in our soul, we can go to the benefits of Christ. It's like a first aid kit. I actually have a first aid kit right here, and you know, you open it up, and there's all kinds of goodies in here. You know, I got some of these little crab pincher things. I guess they're tweezers. You know, I was looking for a knife or something. No knives. There was a little pair of scissors. We've got first aid burn cream. There was actually some triple antibiotic ointment. Which is a balm, right? A balm is something that you put on and it heals. It's an ointment that helps those cuts heal and get better, right? And so if you have a cut, you want to put some balm on it, right? Well, you've got to also make sure that you understand what you have in your first aid kit so you know how to use it. Because here's some gauze, right? Gauze. So what if you were to come up and say, hey, I've got a sore throat today. I'm like, hey, I got it. I got some gauze. Let me just stick that in your throat. Anybody want to try that? See how it works out? Everybody's rolling their heads. This would be fun to see, right? If you have a first aid kit, you got to know how to use it, right? You don't want to, you know, there's some tape in here. What if you came up and said, hey, Keith, man, I got sunburn. I got burned really bad yesterday. Can you help me? I'm like, absolutely. I've got some medical tape. I'm just going to wrap this all around you, and it's going to keep you from getting sunburn. Anybody want to do that? Got sunburn? You want to put some tape on it? You're like, man, you're going to be in tears. You're going to be crying. So if you got a first aid kit, you got to use it. But you also got to use it the right way. And so we want to look at some of these benefits of what we have in Jesus so that we know how to take on these spiritual attacks when they come, right? Because we all have spiritual attacks. There are times that the enemy, he comes and he starts speaking things to you. There's things that you just start telling yourself that aren't true, that aren't right. And we've got to take scripture and apply that in our lives. So we want to look at some ways that we can use these benefits to heal us. And if you think about, you know, people will pay money for things, right? People will pay money to be healed, right? Got a sunburn, man. If you can take it away, I'll pay you some good money. Maybe you've got some other sicknesses, man. I'll pay good money to be healed of this. Well, how about the spiritual sicknesses that we have, the spiritual attacks that we go through? If you can solve those, man, there's a lot of, it's priceless. Pay a lot of money for that to happen. Well, Jesus has made a way for us to experience those things. He's made a way for us to resist the enemy. He's made a way that we can apply truth to our lives and what he has done for us. If there's a balm that will heal the infirmities of our soul, I would pay a lot of money for it, wouldn't you? Well, the good news is it's already been paid for. It's already been secured for us by Jesus Christ. But we have to put ourselves in it, right? We are united to Christ by faith. By faith, we are in Christ. Positionally, we are in Christ. I don't deserve to be in the presence of God, but Jesus Christ made me qualified so I can be in the presence of God. I can be in Christ. Positionally, we are in Christ. And that raises the question of, are you in Christ experientially? Are you experiencing his grace? Are you pursuing it? We can be saved by faith, justified, but are we in him? Are we in him experientially? So let's go and let's talk about a few of these and how they apply to us. All right, so the first benefit, we've talked about this a little bit. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. Blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed in Christ. That's one of the things that this passage communicates. We are blessed. What's the opposite of being blessed? Cursed, right? You're, man, why do these things keep happening to me? I just feel cursed. Word says that in Christ, you are blessed. In Jesus, you are blessed. Now, yes, we live in a fallen world, don't we? We live in a fallen world where it's hard. Things break. Things fall apart. We get sick. Yes, we live in a fallen world. But we are blessed in Christ. We are awaiting the redemption of all things, right? That's what Romans 8 says, that we are awaiting the redemption of everything. We are waiting for the restoration of all things. Right now we're groaning, we're longing for that day, but we are blessed in Christ. We are blessed in him. We've got to tell ourselves that at times. You know, it's really amazing. You think about who wrote this book. Paul wrote this book. Paul said these words. Paul is saying these things, talking about these incredible blessings that come to us. And you remember who Paul was, because he was a man. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. He was abandoned. All these other things. And yet he could say, in Christ, we are blessed. In Christ, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. Paul's in prison when he wrote this letter. He's in prison. And yet he is experiencing the blessings of God. Even in that time, he could sit there and say, I know my identity. I know who I am in Christ. What Jesus has done has changed everything. So Paul is in prison, and yet he is overwhelmed by the spiritual blessings that have been poured out to him in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing to think about? Isn't that amazing as you think about whatever obstacles you have in life, whatever things that may cause you to step back and say, man, I feel worthless. I feel like God's just after me. No, even those hardships are an opportunity to experience the blessings of God. Even those obstacles are an opportunity to see God move and work, that we can know him, that we can know that his hand is in those things and he's going to work in us through them, that even those things can't detract from the blessings that Jesus Christ has secured for us. We just need to think about those. We need to look to those things. We can't sit there and be indifferent. We are blessed in Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. You should be like, wow, I can't believe that. I need to wake up in the morning and hear that. Because when I wake up in the morning, that's not how I typically wake up. I need to hear that about lunchtime because that's not typically how I want to do lunch, right? I need to hear it when I come home in the evening because that's not typically what I think of. I start thinking about all the problems. That's my default setting is woe is me, right? Anybody else there? Where you just kind of naturally default back to that, like you get bumped. You're like, oh, I need to hear these words of Ephesians 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. I need to hear that. We need to hear that. We need to tell it to ourselves. So that's the first one, is that we are blessed. Second one, we are chosen and predestined. How about that? Did you have that on your list of benefits of being in Christ? Some people hear these words like, whoa, where are we going? It's a lot you can talk about on these topics. Verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Some people are like, oh, I don't believe in predestination. Well, it's right there in the Bible. Now, we can debate what it means. We can explain it in different ways, but it's there. What does it mean? It means to be chosen in advance, to be picked, to be selected. And here it's saying he chose us when? Before the foundation of the world, in eternity. That's amazing to think about. You know, sometimes we come to this and we just start thinking about all the things that we don't understand. Well, what about this? What about that? What about that? And sometimes you just have to pull back and it's like, let me think about what I do know. Paul is saying this as a praise to God. Paul is marveling about who God is and what he's done. You know, there's some things that just don't make sense. There's some things we can't wrap our mind around it. Wait a minute, but Jesus, I repented, I trusted in you, I changed, I turned. Well, that's what God ordained for us to do, right? And it says he ordained it in eternity, so how did I freely choose and yet you ordained? I don't know, but I know the word says that. I know that's what scripture teaches. You know, I've got a phone. I use it all the time. I don't understand how it works, right? And there are things about the faith that don't fully make sense. There's mystery around it. We serve a God who is far greater than us, far greater than what we can understand, so it's fully rational that there are going to be things about who God is and what he's done that we can't pack together in a nice, neat formula that everybody agrees with, right? There are just things that are greater than that. There are things that are hard to articulate, hard to understand, things that we will spend the rest of our lives studying and glorying in. But one thing that is clear is that as Paul thinks about this, it causes him to rejoice. It causes him to praise God. It causes him to stand in awe. It causes him to realize, hey, it's not about me. It's not about how good I am. God has done something for me. And one of the things that we need to see is that what he says here is that if you are in Christ, God has chosen you. It's amazing to think about. And so if you're at a place where you're like, well, I don't know if I'm chosen or not, like maybe I'll just sit here and do nothing. Maybe you're depressed. Well, I feel like God didn't choose me, so what do I do? Well, what Scripture says is that those who are in Christ are chosen. And so what you need to do is put yourself in Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to quit going your own way and just rest in him and trust him and know that if you are in him, God has a plan. And God has a plan to bless you, and God has a plan to bless you that has been established from all eternity. And so whatever you're going through right now, it may not make sense to you, but you know that God has chosen you. He hasn't rejected you. He's chosen you, and he has a plan. And there may be different steps in that plan that are hard, that are difficult, that are maybe a little bit bewildering. But you can rest in him. And you can know that just as it says in Romans, those God predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. So you can know that if you are in Christ, God is going to bring his plan to fulfillment, which is going to end in the glorification of his sons and daughters, the glorification of those whom he has chosen. So you can rest that whatever path you're on, it is a path that if you are in Christ, it is a path to glory. It is a path to being renewed in every way. And not just you personally, but also cosmically, the entire world. There's going to be a place no longer cursed, but the full blessings of God poured out. That's what that means. That he chose us according to his purpose that he set forth in Christ. That is amazing. It's an amazing plan. And it's amazing that as we trust in Christ, as we turn to him, we put ourselves in God's foreordained plan to bless the world. It's amazing to think about. Third benefit here is that we are holy and blameless. Holy and blameless. I mean, this is one where I just like, it just feels scandalous to say, right? You sit there and you're like, I am holy and blameless. You're like, do you know what I've done? Do you know who I am? Like, wait a minute, this just seems scandalous that I would be holy and blameless. Blame, you know, to be without blame means that you are without blemish, that you're without fault, you're without spot. It's just amazing to think about. Wait, I would be without any blemish, not just physically, but that means that's spiritual, that's moral, like completely blameless, to be holy, to be set apart, to be fully in line with God's commands. How can that be? Well, it can be because of the grace of God, and that's the only way it can be, is because God has dealt graciously with us. He has not treated us as our sins deserve. You know, and it's amazing. The more you get to know something, the more you can see its blemishes, right? A while back, a neighbor gave one of my kids an old comic book. It was really old. And so they were all excited about it. It's old, and it looked like it was in perfect condition. And they come running in, and they're like, Dad, you know, look at this comic book that we got. Man, it's, you know, look how old it is. And I was like, okay, that's old to you. That's not real old to me. I was born before then, so, you know. But anyway, we start going through it, and we start looking at it. And this thing that just seemed immaculate, and they looked up, like, you know, what would the price of this thing be? And it wasn't worth that much. And then they start looking, and it's like, well, that's if it's in mint condition. And you start going through, and it's, oh, hey, there's a little nick here on the cover. It's no longer perfect. Oh, hey, somebody drew a picture on this page. Well, that's another little blemish. And we just start looking at all these little spots and fingerprints and all these other things. And you know, pretty soon, this comic book that seemed perfect and pristine, all of a sudden, we're just throwing it in the trash can. It's like, it's not even worth the trouble. You know, so some other kid has destroyed this thing. Not because major rips, but just dings and nicks and this and that and the other. The more you get to know something, the more you see its blemishes, right? Ever had a roommate? Can I get an amen? Ever had kids? That you see their blemishes and what else? They see your blemishes, right? It's amazing that we would be considered holy and blameless in his sight. The only way we can be holy and blameless is if our sins are taken away. If our faults are taken away, if our sins are covered. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He died on the cross, the perfect taking our place. He died on the cross. He took what we deserved. He took the punishment that our sins, that our imperfections deserve. He takes it on himself. And what does he give us of his? He gives us his righteousness. Man, that you want to talk about a great deal? You know, hey, great deal. I got a $30 pizza for $10. That's a good deal. The deal of our lifetime, the deal of the millennia, is that Christ took my sin and gave me his righteousness. That's the gospel. That is the good news. That is the benefit that we have in Jesus. That we are now counted as the righteousness of God. Not because we are righteous, but because he died for our sin and he now clothes us with his righteousness. That's an amazing thing. And so I don't know about you, but there's times that I do things and I start to think, oh man, how could you do that? Maybe you feel ashamed. Maybe it's things that you've done. Maybe it's things that you didn't do. Maybe sometimes, you know, there's a friend that's in time of need and you didn't see it. You're like, oh man, I feel terrible. It's another blemish on my record. But in Christ, I am blameless. That's just the grace of God. How does someone like me deserve something like that? None of us deserve it. What we deserve is punishment for our sins. That's what we deserve, but what we get is Christ's righteousness. And so there's more we could say on this. You know, there's just so much to this. We are pure and blameless. You know, there are times that when we feel the weight of our sin, we give in to shame. And shame, when we feel ashamed of what we've done, there can be a good side of that. When we are ashamed and it drives us to turn to Christ, that is a gift. That is a gift because it says, you know, I'm embarrassed at what I've done, and God has made a way for me to be forgiven. And I want to go to that. I want to receive what he's done for me. I want to apply it in my life. I want to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ because I don't have a righteousness in and of myself. That is a healthy expression of shame and how God can use that to draw us near to himself. But there can also be a toxic shame that we see, oh man, I'm worthless. I'm worthless. I'm no good. It pride begins to get in there. And we just want to push away from God. We push away from God. We push away from other people. We feel this shame. And shame can lead you down a dark, dark, dark path. But that's when your pride has infected your shame. When you see shame and you see your own imperfections, you see your own sin, and you face it with humility and you say, you know what, God, yes, I've messed up. And that's why I need Jesus. I want to receive the gift that you have provided for me. And sometimes our shame becomes toxic and proud and we push everything off. We push God aside. No, I just want to wallow in my own self-pity. And we just have a pity party rather than coming into, and that pity party, it just leads us to the darkness, doesn't it? It takes us deeper and deeper. And if we just come out and say, you know what, I'm putting this to death. Yes, I did that. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I can confess my sins. I can go to my spouse and say, I'm sorry, I messed up again. And we can do that and we can apply the gospel in our lives and experience the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. And that's a gift. And that's a gift. That's where that sin, it leads to life. And when our enemy starts telling us that we're no good, you did it again, you're going to keep doing it, that's the enemy speaking. Jesus says, I know it, and I redeemed you. I paid for that. Just come into the light. Come into his forgiveness. It's amazing. We can be pure and blameless without spot, without wrinkle. Oh, man. Fourth one. All right. That we are adopted. We are adopted. We are brought into the family of God. Isn't that amazing? That you are part of the family of God. What does this say? He predestined us for what? For adoption to himself as sons and daughters. We are adopted because Jesus took our place. Jesus, the Son of God, was cut off from the Father. Cut off from the Father because he was bearing the weight of our sin. He's cut off. The Son of God is cut off so that we can be brought in, so that we can be adopted into the family, so that when Christ clothes us with his righteousness, he clothes us and brings us in as brothers and sisters. It's amazing to see what Christ has done for us. We who by nature belong to another family, right? We didn't, by nature, by our own works, we didn't deserve to be in the family of God. Because you know what? When you're a part of the family, you're also a what? You are an heir. You're an heir. You have an inheritance. But by nature, we are not a part of that family. By nature, we were cut off. By nature, legally, we had lost all rights and claims to that family and to that inheritance. And so Jesus Christ comes, he takes our sin, he dies for us, he brings us in. We are adopted into the family of God where we call God Father. One of the distinctives of the Christian faith, we call God Father. There's a loving, benevolent relationship between us and the God of the universe. We call him Father. You're going through something hard. Remember, sometimes our parents discipline us for our good. So you can say, when you're going through something hard, you say, God, what are you teaching me in this? What are you trying to show me of yourself? We can remember that we are sons and daughters of the living God. The presence of hardship in our lives doesn't mean the absence of God's love, right? Presence of hardship doesn't mean it's the absence of God's love. He's blessed us. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We can be in those hardships and say, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. You know, sometimes we go through things and we just question if we'll ever make it. Man, I'm doing terrible in my 3 AP classes. I'm never going to make it in life. Maybe you're struggling in your work. Oh, man. What is my future like? If you are a son and daughter of the living God, and you've been adopted into the family of God, then you have an inheritance that the most wealthiest billionaires in our world just can't even touch. You have an inheritance that just, it cannot compare with anything else that we see in this world right now. We have an inheritance that is far greater than anything else. We are heirs. We have an inheritance. You're not forsaken. You're not destitute. You can be the poorest man in this world, and if you are in Christ, your future is secure. Your future is unfathomably great. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he has secured for you. This is amazing. Next one, sealed. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had to get something sealed? When you seal something, it's to certify that it is what it says it is. Maybe you need to go and get a document sealed for work. Maybe I think most of us would be familiar with like passports and travel, right? You've got to get a passport. And when you get that passport, there is a seal. When you show that passport to the airport, they stamp it, right? They're saying, yes, we have authenticated this. It is what it appears. This person is who it says it is. They are certifying it. And when something is certified, there's a degree of protection, right? When someone comes to you and says, hey, this part for my computer, it is certified that it's going to fit. It is certified that it is going to work. There's a degree of security that comes with that, right? You're like, oh, wow. They certified that this computer will work. Well, how does God stamp us? How does God stamp us in a way that might provide some assurance, some confidence? Just take a stamp and bam, right on your forehead. That'd be fun. He seals us with his Holy Spirit. He seals us with the Spirit of God. So if you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is at work in you. So there may be times in your life where you do things and maybe you do something wrong and then you're immediately convicted. Man, I shouldn't have done that. Maybe you're convicted in the attitude that you have. Maybe you're convicted in the lack of love that you've shown to someone. That is the Spirit of God at work in your life. And you may sit there and think, man, I'm longing for more of it. Well, Scripture says that this sealing, it is just a deposit. You know, when you give a deposit, what that means is I can't pay everything right now, so I'm putting a little bit down, and there's going to be more later. Well, when somebody pays you a deposit, they're just giving you a little bit, and they're saying, you know what, I'm giving you a little now, and there's a whole lot more later, right? And that's what God is doing. We taste his spirit at work in our lives. We have a little bit of it right now, and it's enough to encourage us. It's enough to encourage us that, no, I can change. I'm not stuck in this place forever. God is at work in me. He's at work in my life, and I know that as I'm tasting a little bit of it right now, the whole meal, this is like an appetizer, and the full meal is on its way. So we experience the sealing of the Spirit in our lives. Another thing that we experience is forgiveness. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. To forgive, it is to release a debt. It's to cast it away. When there's unforgiveness and anger and bitterness, anger and bitterness are part of unforgiveness, right? When you know, when you're holding a grudge somebody, there is unforgiveness. We think about that in our lives, and here's the thing. In order to forgive someone, someone has to pay the price, right? Someone has to absorb the cost. You know, if you're just going to, if somebody owes you $10, say, hey, I forgive you, you're absorbing that cost. And sometimes that's what it takes for us to really forgive a friend. Really forgive a relative. We have to absorb the cost. We say, you know what? You offended me. You hurt me. You disgraced me. You did something to me. You felt like there was some injustice. And for me to forgive it, I've got to let that go. And that's what God does for us in Christ, right? We had trespassed against his laws. We had transgressed. We had crossed over. He said, don't do this, and we went running and did it, right? We offended his honor. We disgraced him. And what's amazing is that God says, I know you did it. I'm not just going to ignore it, but I'm going to pay it. I'm going to pay the debt that you owe. I'm going to pay the debt by sending my son to die for your sins. And so when we go through life and we start feeling unforgiveness welling up in our heart towards another person, we have to think about Jesus and what he's done for us. And when you see all that you've been forgiven, it's really hard to hold a grudge against somebody else, right? When you see all the sin that God has paid the price for, it's hard for you to go and say, man, I'm going to keep nitpicking on this person just to try and get back at them. And you know, they often say, hear this in a lot of recovery groups, the hardest person in life to forgive is yourself. Is yourself. Sometimes we have to let go of our own pride and say, God, I messed up. I blew it. It's another way that pride just gets in and distances us from the benefits of Christ. And so what we have to do, if the enemy's trying to distance us, we've got to draw near to those things, right? And when you start feeling those infirmities in your soul, that darkness, the shame, we got to say, no, I know I did that, but in Christ, I'm forgiven. In Christ, God separates me from my sins as far as the east is from the west, right? We've got to start preaching the gospel to ourselves. We've got to apply the gospel in our lives. All right, we've got to move. Let's see. Amen. 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 All right, so when we start seeing these benefits of Christ, we start seeing what a priceless gift we have, right? And we start seeing, it's like, that's what I need. I'm willing to give everything else up if I can be in the presence of God, if I can be considered an heir, if I can be blessed, if I can be chosen, if I can be assured. I want those. I want to be in Christ. We see what amazing gift this is. We see what a balm for our souls. A perfect balm, a balm that heals us in every way. And we want it. We want to acquire it. The third thing is that when we see these, we say, blessed be God. We are blessed in Christ. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And because of that, we bless God. We are blessed by God to bless God, right? He blesses us so that we can bless his name. This passage, it starts with Paul praising God. And that's exactly where we should end, with praising God. If you start to grow cold in your Christian life and you just kind of, you know, a lot of times coldness just looks like showing up to worship and be like, hey, what's the score on the game last night? You know, you're just kind of indifferent to what God has done for you. You've got to step back and start preaching the gospel to yourself and to see your need for it, to see how Christ has secured everything you need. It comes through him, not through anything else. And when we see what he's done, it causes us to celebrate, to sing. We want to rejoice in it. We're willing to give up everything else to gain Christ. We're willing to give up other things in order to put ourselves in Christ, or to put ourselves in a place where Christ is being proclaimed so that we can hear it, because we need to hear it, right? We need to get it into our hearts and souls and our minds. This is what he calls us to do. But to put ourselves in this means that we are taking ourselves out of other things. You're taking us out of the toxicity of the world. Taking us out of the toxicity of what the culture tells us how we should think and believe. We've got to put ourselves in the Word of God. We've got to put ourselves in Christ. Preach the gospel to ourselves. That's a decision that we have to make. And it's a decision to put things behind us and put Christ in front of us. And also to just to start to see how great he is. How worthy of our praise, of our affection. How great he is and how worthy he is to sacrifice everything else for. That's what we have in him. It's there. It is secured. We just need to take hold of it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us in Christ. Lord, as we look at this, my words feel so feeble to even begin to attempt the significance of what these things mean and how they change our lives. And so, God, I just pray by your Spirit, you have sealed us with your Spirit. God, work in us in your Spirit to open our eyes, to open our hearts at how great and amazing these things are and how great and amazing it is to be found in Christ. Father, we just thank you. We celebrate your work. And we just sing of how great you are, Lord. I want to give you just a moment. Just take a moment. And if you need to confess your sins, maybe you confess there's other things that have captivated your thoughts. Maybe there are other things that you've just put before the Lord. And just little by little, it has chipped away from you being amazed at who God is and what he's done. Just confess that. Confess your sin of putting other things before him. Maybe also just ask him for help. Help seeing what he's done for you. Maybe it's help knowing that you're blessed. Maybe it's help knowing that you are an heir, you have an inheritance, that you have a father. Maybe there's one of these that just really hits you and you just need help with it. Just pray that now. Say, God, help me to believe this. Help me to know it. Help my feelings to catch up with my head. Father, we love you. We praise you. We praise you because you have done every need that we have. It is met in Jesus Christ. We believe that, Lord. We know we don't experience it every day right now. But we know that a day is coming in which we are going to experience all the fullness of it. And there are days we groan right now. But we groan fighting to believe because we know your word is truth. We groan because we have something that's worth fighting for. Help us, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Empower us. Help us to see the greatness of who you are and what you've done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing one last song. And I just want to encourage you. Maybe you just need to sing out right now. Just do that. If you need to come down.